Hey guys, I'm Mark Potter. Welcome to another episode of Brushstrokes, a podcast powered by Canvas Magazine. Guys, today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Convertible Solutions. Visit www.convertiblesolutions.com for your diamond glitter paper needs. Guys, this diamond glitter paper is the coolest stuff I've seen. It literally will mesmerize you with this striking visual appearance, but it's also got this textural feel for things like packaging, bags, envelopes, tags, labels, signage, you name it. It's really, really cool. In fact, Convertible Solutions has just put out a brand new magazine called Paperbilities. It's inspiration for creative campaigners, and they put their first issue on this diamond glitter. Guys, take a look. Visit www.convertiblesolutions.com to check out the diamond glitter paper. Well, guys, listen, today's episode is a little departure from my traditional interview. I actually have asked my very good friend and co-worker, Michael Pallarino, who is the director of content here at Conduit, to spend some time with us. Michael and I, we manage a lot of projects together, and we've been working together for, 8 years probably. And he does a lot for us. He really does. But he's been doing it for a long time. He understands the value of a story. He understands the whole idea around the mindset for creating content. And so, obviously, when we're working together, we have a lot of fun. We toss around a lot of ideas. We have a lot of off-the-cuff conversations. Sometimes they're a little bit more flowery than what we provide today. But it's been a lot of fun to work with him, mostly because he's extremely passionate about what he does, and he just gets it. And I think our message to all of you is you need to act like a media company. You need to invest in the mindset of creating content. That's where trust is built. And it's not easy because, you know, we love to invest in things that give us what we perceive to be immediate returns. But in this day and age, when it's so hard to connect with people and so hard to get somebody's attention, the creation of content matters. And so Michael knows that. He's been a great partner in crime with me. And I just thought, you know, I'd introduce him to you guys specifically and let him share some of his wisdom, and so he and I waxed on a little bit here. So without further ado, my conversation with my good friend, Michael Pallarino. Michael?
Good morning.
Are you ready for this?
Oh boy, I don't know. Let's give it a shot.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal. You've graduated. You've graduated to the big time.
You were looking for a ratings downer, I assume.
You got to understand. This is going out across the globe to literally hundreds of people. How are you this morning? Are you awake?
I am awake. I've been awake for a while. You know, I'm not a big sleeper, so.
Yeah. Well, hopefully.
I tossed and turned about all of this, so.
Oh, I hope not.
No, I didn't. I'm kidding.
Oh, all right. Well, welcome to my podcast. This is a, like I said, this is a big deal. And, I'm just so thrilled to have you, even though we talk all the time and every day. But now it's formal. Now it's going to be formal.
You know, I'd be remiss if I didn't say what I've always wanted to say. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
It's pretty good. Well, I thought we would do this because I thought, you know, you and I have had a lot of stimulating conversation over the course of time. We've been together for a while. We've talked a lot about, you know, content and how critical it is. And you know, we were talking the other day, and I just thought, you know, this should be a podcast. We should do this because our conversations around the relevance of creating content and the publishing process is so much larger than it's ever been. And, you know, obviously we do it, so we're a little bit biased, but sometimes I just want to scream it at the mountaintop that you have to go out and create content. You have to start acting like a media company. So I thought it'd be fun to have you join because, one, we have these stimulating conversations, but two, you know, you've been doing it for a long time and you've seen different iterations of it. And then you've also seen some stuff that doesn't change. So, you know, is that fair to say? I mean, you know, some things stay the same and maybe some of the vehicles change.
I think it's exactly right. And this is the part where I probably get to date myself a little bit. I've been doing this for over 30 years. So I'm kind of waiting for the audience to go, what? 30 years? But it's really the essence really boils down like it's been when I started in the newspaper business, again, 30 plus years ago. It's really about the story. And when you break content down, and when you break brands down, and when you break people down and products and services, it's all about the story. So it's kind of fascinating to see the way this has evolved over time. And, you know, we even talked about this a little bit recently where the term content marketing, everybody likes to use that term, but I think you're seeing it now called storytelling. And that's what we do, and I think that's what we urge the people that we work with. You know, we can call them clients, we can call them partners, but, you know, they're really the friends that we're trying to help them build communities, and it's all built around stories. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, well, nothing's changed.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny because I, you know, every time I talk to people, I say, look, the world is such a place where nobody really wants to see each other. Nobody, we have all these tools to keep people at a distance. We can, you know, somebody calls us and we don't recognize a number, we don't take it. We delete emails in the blink of an eye. And, you know, we're not going to return voicemails or cold calls or, you know, someone knocks on the door, you know, we're probably not even going to go to the door. And so, you know, what hasn't changed is the need for, like you said, for the story, right? Where you go out and you talk to people and you discover about stuff about them. You understand some of their idiosyncrasies. You discover that maybe you run in the same circles or, hey, you know this person. And there's some commonality found, right? If in the old school selling, that's kind of what you did. I mean, we've graduated. We there was a time when you went out and you pushed product and the guy sat on the back of the wagon and told you about his crazy new potion and all that it did. And then we went to the door-to-door salesman, and then we got a little bit more sophisticated, and the books were all written about how to sell and, you know, spin selling and all these type of things. And what happened was it started to say, well, you really have to get into the customer's shoes. You really have to understand about them and uncover their needs. And then you can pitch to those needs, those corresponding needs. And so that's grown or evolved and to a point where we really can't sell. We have to understand and not be pushy. And there's this whole concept around unselling, but it's also changed stylistically, right? We don't knock on doors anymore. We can't even get the appointment anymore. We can't even see them in person. But the process of uncovering their needs and then putting context around it and being able to tell stories so that we assimilate to say, hey, you know, we know X, Y, and Z. We've been in this business for a while. We know here's a story for you that relates to people. And so I don't think that the process has really changed. I mean, it's morphed a little bit in terms of how sophisticated the buyer is, or I don't know if it's sophistication or how much power they have, but we've literally seen it grow from a person not, you know, pushing their product to knocking on doors, going through an actual process, sales process, to a time now where we can't even get in front of the buyer, and publishing or creating content allows us to start to connect. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we, as human nature as people, we like to, we always like to give names to things. And I think you said it right, whether you're on the back of the wagon selling an elixir, or, you know, I spent a long time in the magazine business and the publishing business, doing a lot of sales calls with sales managers. And you think about what they do when you do it the old-fashioned way. As a salesperson, you went out and you talked to people, right? Mm-hmm. And what are you doing, in essence? I mean, I'm going to break it down again. You're telling a story. You're telling a story about how your magazine is the one that everybody reads because they want to learn about the industry. And the industry, whatever that industry was, it was a story within that industry. Mm-hmm. The other thing I love is word of mouth. Well, what is word of mouth? It's a story. So it's somebody telling a story to somebody else. So I think you're right. I think it's when you break it all down, in the end, look at your everyday life, whether you're selling something or personal life, you're basically just telling stories.
Right.
The old saying, we all have a story to tell, and we do. Go to today, we hear so much about thought leaders. And what are thought leaders? They're experts on topics, and they're telling you their stories. You know, five ways to do this, or it's important to do this by doing that. So again, I asked everybody listening to just think about what you do on a day-to-day basis, and what you will find is you're, again, telling a story.
So, yeah.
You're exactly right.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the this whole concept is it's not new. It's just the vehicle. And the biggest concern for me, and what we've talked a lot about, and why, quite honestly, why we're in business, is that because the world doesn't necessarily respond to the traditional knocking on the door or cold call, that there needs to be new ways for people to find them. And I do believe that the buyer, whether it's us personally in our own lives or a B2B buyer, they have so much power. They don't wield it like power, but they have so much power. They're just so much more informed, and they don't need to, and busy. So they don't really want to spend a lot of time. And so they have to go through their own self-discovery. They've got the tools to do that. So how do companies get discovered? And you better be putting out thoughtful content. You better be putting out stuff that piques someone's interest. You know, I always think about the sales funnel, and you've seen me draw it 100 times on the board, where we go from unaware to aware to interest to desire to adoption. And most of the world is so addicted to immediate gratification that we're trying to go from unaware to the buy. You know, they're a client now, and it just doesn't work that way. I mean, there's got to be a level of patience. So as you've worked with our industry and our clients, and have you seen, or do you believe that you know, there's a little bit of a gap there, that people are not quite embracing this? They're still using the old school models?
Yeah, I think that's a matter of, you know, like we always talk about, you go with what you know. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily wrong, but I think that one of the things that we've always talked about, and from the first day that I stepped into this industry, and I remember the first assignment you gave me when we started working together, was the essence of the printer working from a printing service provider to a marketing service provider. And what we kept saying and writing about and having everybody tell the stories that made that successful transformation was, you have to open your mind up. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the key, no, whatever you're talking about. And in this case, I think what you have is, nobody likes to admit that they like to be sold to. I feel like everybody's selling them something. And you always say it so perfectly when we talk about it, is content is kind of a soft sell. It's a way to ease your client or your prospective client into what you're doing. And so I think it's really a matter of opening up your mind.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. And listen, I don't. One of the things that I worry about is that we come across, and you and I have come across a lot of people that they'll say, look, I just got to create content. I need content. Or we have a scarcity of content. We're really hurting to create content. We hear that kind of stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it doesn't really – that's a bad mindset to be in, because you can commoditize content. You know, you've heard me say that a million times, that, you know, everything is really a commodity until it has context. Design. I mean, you know, many of our designers hate when I say that design is a commodity. But the reality is that you can design a Picasso or what you think is a Picasso, but if nobody, you know, wants to buy it or take a look at it, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't have any context. It doesn't mean anything to the readership or the viewership. It doesn't matter. It's the same with content. I mean, if you write a blog about, the steel mills, and you're sending that out to the computer industry, I mean, it just falls on deaf ears. So this creation of content can get commoditized. And, you know, someone who writes a blog or writes a column from just their perspective or their opinion, you can do that every once in a while, but that's not really content. And this is coming from somebody who does it all the time. I mean, I do blog, but that's in the midst of all the organic content we create. And when you go out and talk to people, when you go get their stories, as you say, and you interview them and you ask them what's on their mind or what keeps them up at night, or they tell you something compelling about success or failure, and then you regurgitate that back to a broader audience, that's content. That, you know, when I can read about essentially myself or people that look like me or people that I want to be, that's content. Content's not defined until the reader determines it. And so I get nervous that we as a collective, not even just an industry, as an economy, that we jump on the next thing. You know, this content marketing thing has become, I've read where it's become a $3-something billion industry. And you're thinking to yourself, holy smokes. I mean, you know, are we losing a little bit of the sincerity of it all, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think what you're saying is that there has to be quality to it too. You can't do content for content's sake. It has to be part of a strategy. And that's the other important thing, is content is part of a strategy that you use. Like you said, you can't just throw a blog out there or a podcast or whatever and say, there's my content. It has to be part of a greater plan. That's what we keep telling people. And I think the people that we work with, it's always interesting to see how they embrace it and how they see the light bulb go off and how excited they get when we start talking about, you know, you're really big on getting people to start thinking to the next one. Mm-hmm. You always next one, and people like to rest on their laurels. Wow, look what we did. But it's really part of a big plan that you have to keep it going. So it's a fascinating ride. And like I said, I've been doing this for a long time, and I've seen it evolve. You've heard me say this before. If you think about it, a newspaper is content marketing. I mean, you're selling advertising in it back in the day. I mean, you know, you go out there and newspapers tell myriad stories from all different kind of perspectives, and it evolves all the way up to, again, with people, blogs and podcasts. And but look at what we do. We do, when we work with clients, we do blogs and stories and infographics. I mean, you can lay out, content is not just words too. It's, right. It's video, social, it's building your brand story. So right. Again, you're going to get tired of hearing me say that, but that's what it is. It's it's your brand's or your personal story. That's content.
Well, I mean, you said a few things that are really, really critical. And you know, so first of all, it's got to be part of your strategy. And I believe in that, because in a day and age when the corner office wants an ROI, and you know my perspective on ROI, you know, if ROI was truly a real thing, then we'd all be going to Vegas. I mean, if you knew you could spend X and you could get a return of Y, then, you know, we'd all be doing it. And so if you're going to take ROI as a measurement, then you can apply it to just about anything in your company, whether it's a salesperson taking someone out to lunch. You know, what's the ROI on that lunch? And so it's a good measurement, but it's not in replace of true connection, of true relationship. I mean, you know, business is still, even to this day, with all the technology, it's still about the relationship you have with the marketplace or specific clients. And so it has to be part of your strategy. The thing about the corner office and their ROI is that they have to look at it beyond sales numbers. If I go out and do a story, and you and I have done this a ton of times, is we can go out and do a story. We can even do something for a prospect where we go do a story and we go talk to people and we glean those insights. And whether or not they ever buy into doing a content plan or platform, at the bare minimum, the insight that they have received from that story is better than any insight that they're getting. A lot of the printers today, printers, marketing service people, they're using a connection mechanism that is solely salespeople. And as you know, we're very pro sales here, but to have that as your sole mechanism of connection, it has so many negatives associated with it. And one of the biggest ones is that there's not a backbone or cornerstone archival system, meaning we're not bringing in every single salesperson's feedback from the marketplace. You know, we can see what customers have bought. We know probably if they've put it into the CRM system, what size they are. But we're not bringing in the data around what keeps them up at night. What's their buying process look like? Are we starting to segment these clients in by size, you know, demographics, psychographics? And the salespeople are so busy trying to sell, there's no mechanism to bring that back. When you do content as part of strategy, it's a great, albeit sometimes simple, way of going out and gleaning insight from the marketplace. So if you want your ROI, you know, there it is, because at some point you can't have a good business until you have a deeper understanding of the marketplace. Content, or the creation of content, does that. I also want to circle back to something else you said, you know, about salespeople, and that is, you know, think about it. The old, I've known some great salespeople in my time, and the best of the best have always provided the client with information, even when they didn't request it. You know, I can think of a great salesperson out on the West Coast that I used to know. I mean, the guy made $1 million a year and killed it, and everybody loved him. The guy, you know, sophisticated. But the thing that he did the most was he provided great information to his clients, and he put it in a format. And I thought, you know, that's essentially what we're doing. And you know, that's of a lost art. What happened over time was salespeople started knocking on doors. There's not a lot of client doesn't have a lot of time. And, you know, hey, I just want to talk to you. What's, you know, if you've got anything for me this week, that type of thing. So the creation of content, you're absolutely right, is strategic. And, you know, and then the third thing that I want to talk, that I want to go back to what you said, was the vehicles, meaning, you know, everything's content. In fact, the idea around content marketing is kind of stupid, right? I mean, don't get me wrong, we play off that, we use that term, But content marketing, I mean, that's like saying social marketing. That's like saying, you know, it's all marketing, and there are different vehicles, but you can create content. If you go to an event, in the event there's a presentation, that's content. If there's a, you know, like you said, a blog or something digitally or in print, even a sales call. A sales call is, if think about that. So what I'm trying to say is the creation of content is marketing. I go talk to people. I put it in context. I gather all that data. I get a deeper understanding. I can go back to the greater market and either tell stories and name drop, or I can give them some perspective. I can also do research on data. I can put it all together and say, hey, you know, we've been doing our due diligence. We've been talking to this market. We're from here. And that is marketing. And you know, you've heard me say it a million times that you wouldn't see the pretty girl from across the room and walk over to her and say, hey, you know, I saw you from across the room. I thought I'd come over and tell you about me. You would, if you were lucky enough to get the 9 seconds in front of her, you would probably be asking her some questions. Where's she from? You know, who does she know? All that kind of stuff. And meanwhile, as the buyer, if you will, she's asking herself, well, what's the, who is this guy? And who does he, what circles does he run in? And does he make me laugh? And all these kind of things. And so that's marketing. And on some level, content today provides us the platform to do that in a most sincere way. So I said a lot there, but I just thought, you know, I wanted to touch on those things that, that you tapped into. Did I say anything crazy there?
Oh, no. I think that what we always ask people to do is, like you said, to just think about, you have to open your mind up, because people are have such preconceived notions of what everything is. Like, for example, you make a social media post and everybody runs to see how many likes they have or how many shares they have. But the thing that people seem to forget is, and this happens with me, I'll be talking to somebody somewhere down the line and they'll say, oh yeah, I saw that you said something about that, or you posted something about it. You don't always get that ROI of, I like it. Mark posted something and I like it. It's the sharing of information, and it's all part of what we post and what we say and what we share is really who we are, right? I mean, that's what we'd like to portray. This is something that I'm sharing with Mark Potter because this is something that Mike Pellerino believes in or, you know, wants Mark to know about, and maybe he'll share it. Mm-hmm. And maybe he shares it, he'll say where he got it from. So you're right. That's not content marketing. Again, that's just a sharing of information. So call it what you want. Maybe the name of the podcast is Content Marketing Stupid.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding, of course. But yeah, so it's it's one of those things where, like you said, we talk about this day in and day out, and when we go back and talk to the people that we work with day in and day out, we try to tell this story that they have to open their minds to the power of content, so
right.
to speak.
Well, and I think that it is there's a sincerity about it. I'll tell you. You know, again, you touch upon this. I think that everything is about trust, and especially today. You know, you remember my old buddy Colby Jubenville. He got on this podcast and he said, "Mark, Colby, it's all." What's that?
I said Colby.
Yeah, absolutely. And he got on here and he says, "Listen, it's all about safety." And we think about this world. I mean, this crazy world. My heart goes out to the people of Sri Lanka, and you know, you think about it, it's every other week, and so we live in a world where we know all the most dangerous stuff, and it is all about safety, and even down to the most remedial connections, it's still about safety. Are you a safe bet? Do I trust you? And you know, when you put something out, there's essentially a level of trust. You know, that started, you know this, it started with Canvas. And a lot of people just kind of liked the fact that we were doing content that matters. I always believed that Canvas was going to write about sales, marketing, strategy, the stories that people wanted to read. And there's a level of trust that is built when you do that. Look, you know, having yesterday be Easter, it just kind of resonates in that, you know, when do you trust somebody? It's when they're maybe not doing it for the almighty buck. You know, when there's a sincerity about it, when you're doing something because it's the right thing, you know, you're trying to serve others, and then you can trust that everything will take care of itself. And I think I've told this story a million times, but you know, when I first started the business and the recession hit and things were struggling, I don't know, there was a part of me that maybe even a calmness, if you will, that said, screw it. I'm just going to just go to bat for others. You know, I don't know where this will lead. And I kind of just forgot about my wallet for a while and said, I'm just going to serve and see where that gets me. And, you know, knock on wood, it really turned out great. I think content does that. I think, you know, the battle that you and I fight is that, again, people want an ROI. Well, I don't know. What am I getting from that? Blah, blah. You know, there's already a insincerity if your motivation is, what am I getting from this? But if you jump into content and you truly act like a real media company and you say, let's just go do the authentic stories. Let's at a minimum go talk to people. You know, you're serving others by putting their name in print or online or whatever. And that's great free PR for them. You're creating political connections. You know, when you interview somebody and you put their name in print, you're essentially building their resume. So that's a nice start to a relationship. But you're also gleaning all this great insight and you're smarter for it. And so there's a level of trust. The other thing is that there's not a lot of risk associated with it. I mean, you're not talking about a break the bank piece of equipment. You know, when you're buying $1 million piece of equipment, you're like, oh my God, we got to go sell this thing. And whereas with content, you can always cut bait on it. If you say, well, I don't really like the way this tastes. I mean, eventually you can just say, well, okay, we're not going to do it. At least we got the great insights and feedback. So I do think that mindset, and I think that's what you and I are talking about. It's not so much be a media company. It's not so much do content. It's get into the mindset of creating content. Is that right?
That's correct. So. I don't think there's you don't have many expectations when you share a story or tell a story. I think is what you're not asking anybody to, you know, to buy something that they might regret later,
right?
Or they might love later. It's just building your brand. And again, you said the key word. It's trust.
Mm-hmm.
Keep telling people stories and keep sharing information with them so they can get a level of trust with you. Because in the end, you don't, more times than not, you don't know the person that you're telling that story to when you tell it as a brand. Mm-hmm. You know, your community. And I think the other word that we hadn't touched on and that content allows us to do is to engage. Mm-hmm. And that is so, that's important today, to make an engagement and a continual engagement. So mm-hmm. content and storytelling and whatever we choose to call it, it helps that process.
Right. What do you, so over the last few years, you know, we've been doing this. What are some of your fondest, I don't want to say memories because, you know, you and I give you a lot of grief, so I don't want you to, you know, say anything about me. But, you know, some of the, but we've got a lot of really cool clients.
We do.
And, you know, we've met a lot of people. We've talked to a lot of people. What's your... What do you like the most about it?
That's a great question. And, you know, it's one of the things that I said a long, long, long time ago. And it's a cliche, but it's true for me. It's, I'm one of those people that love to learn something new every day. And I feel like in this marketplace that we work in, I get to do that, you know, 2, 3, 4 times over every day. And I just meet a lot of interesting people that have a lot of interesting stories, some that never make it to print, so to speak. But it's just a great group of people that I think once they embrace what we do, and it's not even so much what we do for them, but what we're able to do for them that they really truly appreciate. So I think it's the learning, you know, and I learning, this is something that years ago when the internet started coming out, I guess I'm old enough to say when there was no internet, they kept saying that what we do was going to die. You know, people will never be able to, they'll never be writers. And what we do now is so valuable. And to be able to see that day in and day out, it really warms my heart, because this is all that I know how to do and what I love to do. And to be able to do it at this level is just, that's memorable to me. Mm-hmm. Every day is new. And I'm not saying that to be corny, but it's true. I mean, when we hang up and we go on to do what was on our to-do list for this week, it'll be all new stuff. And I'll be talking to a whole new bunch of people that I haven't talked to before. And to me, that's rewarding.
It really does. I mean, think about it, in this day and age. I mean, it is. I've told you that. I've always said, you know, I mean, it's amazing how valuable what you do is. And it allows you, it affords you the chance to talk to people in a world that nobody wants to talk. And, yeah. You know, it gives you license to, and you're not selling, you know, you're literally, if anything, you're giving away something. You're putting their name in lights. You're giving them PR. Just for them to share some stories. People, I mean, very rarely do people not want to be interviewed. And that's the funny thing. Here's the other thing. Obviously, you and I are print evangelists, but people love their names in print.
Oh, they do.
You know?
And their photos. They just love they love their brand. Again, we're talking, they love their personal brand in print.
Yeah. How about, give me a couple of your favorite interviews.
Oh boy, that's a real Barbara Walters question, isn't it? You know what? I had to interview Daniel Pink, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
And you and I talk about this all the time, and I'm always able to, when I reach out to him, I'll send him an email, he'll email me back. And I think that's because, you know, what I was able to talk to him about and share with him, we built that trust. Mm-hmm. And I think he trusts us.
Yeah.
So I thought, that was a great interview.
Yeah.
And not because he's written a lot of cool books, but because, you know, on some level we do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And again, when, you know, if I would have interviewed him and I'd have wrote a story and he'd have looked at that and said, my God, what is this guy doing? Let me block his email or block his phone call.
Yeah.
But I think, things like that. And there's been other people that I've talked to as well, that might just be the owner of a print shop that one of our clients wanted to talk to, and they were apprehensive and they were nervous about doing it, because, you know, you always hear, I'm not good at this, or, you know, whatever I say is not going to come out right.
Yeah.
And it does. And you share it with them and they want to see how they can get copies of the magazine or a link to the story. So that is just as important as, you know, the big names.
Yeah.
So that's been kind of cool, because basically what we're doing is, when you talk about commercial printers, when we interview them, we do a lot of different things here. It's not just commercial print, because we work with some big brands as well that aren't in the printing business. But when somebody does that for a living, they're a printer and they print stuff and then they're in print and they see the value of it. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that it's so funny to think about, well, who we've interviewed, you know, obviously a best-selling author like Daniel Pink. We've interviewed a ton of authors or the CMO of Coca-Cola, VP from Amazon. We've interviewed academics, we've interviewed printers, we've interviewed optometrists, designers, you name it, right? And so there's no maybe some of the biggest people we've interviewed or biggest brands have not been all that great at an interview, and some of the you might think that couple $1 million printer that's just trying to eke by and make it happen, that might be the most compelling interview we've done. And so it's pretty interesting that, everybody's got a story and there's some really, really thoughtful people out there. And again, acting like a media company and doing this allows you that. So it's been enriching. It's been really enriching in terms of being able to connect with people. And, I think it's wonderful. I told you that, a long time ago, what you do is so valuable. And I think it's probably been pretty cool for you to see how it's morphed.
Oh, it's just, again, I go back to, I'm able to do this every day, and it's admittedly all I know how to do. So,
well, listen, I thought this would be fun, and I thought it'd give people a little glimpse into, you and I spend an awful lot of time talking. Obviously, we manage a lot of projects and every once in a while, well, maybe more than once in a while, we go off on our tangents and I thought, this would be kind of fun. We talk about this stuff all the time and the opportunity abounds. In fact, we're spinning a lot of plates but I thought this would be fun I appreciate you taking time. I know, we got a million projects to manage right now, so I appreciate you spending a little time and indulging me on this. Any parting words? Any parting advice?
It's funny. I always like to tell the story, and it's longer than it should be, but I'm going to make it short because you've heard me tell this before, so you could probably hang up before I finish it. But as writers, we all think we know, what we're doing, and we do it right, and nobody can ever tell us anything. That's what I thought when I was younger, and I think I've told you this story. So I worked for the Atlanta Chamber of Commerce, and it was right before the Olympics. Mm-hmm. Atlanta was trying to get the Olympics, and I was in a meeting with Juan Antonio Samaranch. If you look it up, he was the head of the International Olympic Committee, and it was kind of an honor. I mean, here I am, kind of a young reporter, so to speak. I worked in the communications department. I sat down in the front row. I took a couple of pictures. I have a picture of him cutting the ribbon, for Atlanta's, the Atlanta Organizing Committee's new office and everything. And I had to go back and write something for the newsletter. So I'm sitting down in my little cubicle, and I'm writing, and I push this keyboard aside, and I'm real frustrated, and my boss walks by, and about two or three times I see him behind me, and about the fourth time he taps on my cubicle and he says, "Come here, I gotta tell you something." And I looked at him and I said, "Barry, I've got a—" He goes, that can wait. Come here, I gotta tell you something." So I go in his office and he closed the door, and he just ended up telling me some random story that made no sense to anything I was doing or anything else.
Right.
And I looked at him and kind of nodded, and I was heading out the door, and he stopped and he said, "Hey, wait a minute, Mike." He said, "What?" He goes, "What happened in that meeting today?" And I looked at him. I said, "You'll never believe this." And I started telling him a story, and he looked at me and he said, "Stop." And I said, "What?" He goes, "That's your story." And I said, what do you mean?" He said, "A story is two guys in a bar talking, and you ask that guy, how was your day? And you start telling him the story." Mm-hmm. And to me, that's storytelling. I think people overthink it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
The essence of being able to communicate what you want someone to know, and about everything we just talked about trust, about what your product or service or what you can do, and the way you phrased it when you see that pretty girl across the room, it's all just about the story.
Mm-hmm.
So That's kind of my, and people that, if anybody's listening to this on my end, they'll say, God, Mike took his 1 hour story and made it 3 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is, and I think, you know, I think you're right. And it's that it is, it's just executing on it. It's having the mindset, the sincerity of it. I love that. The simplicity of it. Because a lot of times people will say, well, how do I get into this? How do I create a campaign around creating content and a mindset? And how do I do this? Because especially from you know, the printing industry, they're all so used to spending millions of dollars on equipment that they think investment, they think big. And you know, they think, gosh, this is going to break the bank. And that's why they get into the ROI. And you know, it's really not that hard. I mean, you know, you just have to start stepping forward and doing it. So, and it is, I mean, you can go out and ask somebody five questions and maybe to ask the same five questions of five different people. And, you know, that's data. That's the other thing. And, you know, without running on too long here, I think that we get this mindset in this world that we have to have this data. And we've created this snowball effect of, well, we have to have marketing automation and all this amazing data. Well, that's not real connection. That's not real understanding. And you know, I don't think that you have to throw that out. I think that's very supportive. But when you go out and talk to people, that's real understanding. You know, I can go out and talk to 5 to 10 people and ask them all the same questions and chronicle those answers and not only will I have all that insight and data, but I will also have those connections from that conversation where I've put that person, it's all about them. You know, this is me just asking questions. And so that's the beauty of it. And you can use the data to support some of that, but that's where real decisions and real strategy takes place.
I think that's right on. And look at the bright side. We didn't have to bleep ourselves. That's the normal conversation for us.
Right. Yeah. We were on our best behavior. There would probably been normally some expletives in this, in the real someday, you know, once we develop some trust with the marketplace, maybe we'll share a little bit more. Anyways. All right, man, listen, I really appreciate it. And, you know, we got a lot of work to do, but I thought this was good. I thought this is just, you know, I thought it'd be fun. And obviously it shares a little bit about what we do, but also our mindset and what we, and we're not necessarily saying, hey, use us, but we're saying you got to have this mindset. It works. It just works. I mean, you know, our business is 12 years old. All right. And we started it in, you know, essentially in the recession. So what's that tell you? This stuff works. And there's an authenticity about it. So, but
they can't get rid of us.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, brother. Cheers. Well, we got work to do. We got to get back to work. This has been fun.
Don't share the ratings with me.
I won't. They're going to go through the roof. Literally hundreds.
Hundreds.
All right, Michael. I appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon. Yeah. Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed my conversation with my dear friend, Michael Pallarino. He is a thoughtful guy, and I'm really proud to work with him. I'm proud to call him a partner. He has done a lot of good things for us. I think that you'll hopefully glean some good information from that conversation and realize that this is all about a mindset. It's about becoming a storyteller. It's about creating content for the right reasons, and that it will pay dividends in the long term. So I really appreciate him taking some time and thought that might be fun for you guys to kind of get a glimpse into some of our everyday conversations. A reminder that this episode of Brushstrokes was brought to you by my good friends at Convertible Solutions. Visit www.convertiblesolutions.com. Check out this diamond glitter paper. It's really cool stuff. Designers, your clients are going to love it. It's got the great feel. It's got the really cool look. And believe it or not, in this day and age, That's the kind of stuff that resonates. So again, check them out at convertiblesolutions.com. In the meantime, we will be hard at work at creating another episode of Brushstrokes. And as always, I hope that you will be the buffalo. Thanks for listening. Take care.